If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Be in prayer this morning as we say a few things that may comfort God's people and you that are here. Our foundation is the Word of God. It's where our hope, our comfort comes from God's Word. As we read in 1 Corinthians, begin reading with verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That is a warning to us not to become prideful and think we stand on our own strength. As we said earlier, we only stand by the grace of God. And this next verse involves every person here. And it's verse 13, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. That's where temptation can be trials that come our way. There's many trials that come to all the people of God, Brother Dave. Some inwardly, some mentally, some physically. Could be your health. Some it can be financially. Some it can be relationships. It can be many things that we have to face in life. But every one of us has to face our own trials. You can't face them. No one else can face them for you. You must face your own temptations and trials with the Lord. But God gives us a promise in this verse. There is no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful. You must always keep that in your view. No matter what you're going through. God is faithful. God is faithful. Because the thing that Satan wants to tempt you is to not trust in the faithfulness of God, Brother Dave. Hath God said, he told the parents, hath God said? And in your own life, he's going to come to you and whisper in your ear, hath God said? He wants you to doubt the faithfulness of God. And I'm glad Paul dealt with this, because Paul went through many trials in his own life. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you are able. Now there's a promise that nothing's going to come into your life that God won't give you the strength to stand against, to overcome it. Now, it may not be an easy test. Some tests are very difficult. The test of relationships is probably one of the greatest tests you can ever go through when a relationship breaks or doesn't work. I can remember when I was just a young man in my 20s, around 23, 24, when my wife and I got a divorce. It was one of the most difficult times in my life. Being young, not knowing how to, it was just something that you, until you face it, you don't realize how it can affect you. But it's a very difficult situation to overcome or to face. But God's grace is sufficient even for those type of trials. You hear of people having cancer. One of the two sisters that amazed me was Brother Hatfield's two daughters, Beth and Dawn. What a testimony they left. How they trusted the grace of God, even in the death, facing death in cancer. They give the glory to God and never seem to complain. And they may have in their own privacy, but they had a good outlook. And to me, that was a wonderful testimony of God's grace to those who have to die or face cancer in their life. And there's many today, Brother Ray Hargett's wife just found out she has breast cancer. So she's having to face this. And I guess the protocol will be like they usually do. It'll be chemo and then radiation, and then they'll have the operation. That seems to be the way they do it now. Instead of operating first and then doing that, they seem that they've changed it that way to try to shrink the cancer or to keep it from spreading before they open you up. So be much in prayer for her. She's facing something she's never faced before. These are real tests to the believer. It affects you mentally. It affects you emotionally. It affects you. Your whole being all of a sudden seems to collapse in front of you. And fear enters in. And beloved, believe me, it's hard to control fear. We cannot control it. Only God can control it for you. So that's why it's so important that for you and I that we pray for those who are going through trials of this type, because they're so real. They're so powerful in affecting our feelings and emotions. He said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it or to endure it. Now, God doesn't just snap his finger and the trial's gone. He told Paul, when Paul was going through that tribulation in Corinthians, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, sometimes we don't know how weak we are until God pulls the rug out from under us, and then we say, boy, I can't even trust God apart from his grace, Brother Dave. I can't even rely on the Lord without him giving me the strength to do that. How you realize how helpless we are apart from the grace of God. We need God every day of our lives. The Word of God says we live and move in his being. God so penetrates the believer and all of us that our next breath comes from God. We're not self-sufficient. If God removes his presence from us, his grace from us, we would die instantly because we can't maintain our life. God is the maintainer of life and death. He gives life and he takes life. And that's why we have to bow, even though it's difficult, when God takes someone, we have to bow to his providence. God knows best. I know Brother Bill, that was a shock to him. It was a shock to all of us. And one day we'll all have to face that with those we love, but we have to stop and remember God knows best. And take comfort in that. Take comfort in that. God took him at a particular time for a reason. God does everything according to purpose. We have to remember that. In difficult times, in time of darkness, Isaiah said, when I walk in darkness, I'll trust in thee. That means when we face situations we don't understand, we trust God for it, Brother Roger. I know it was hard for Roger to give up Sister Parker. I know he's seen her suffering and he was willing to give her up, but still it was hard to give her up when it came down to that point. And it always will be difficult to give those we love up. But we know God knows best. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He says, not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father's noticing it. And how much more are you more valuable than the birds that perish? So when one of his children die, don't you think God notices that? He's in control of that? He knows the very hour and the very day and the very moment of each one of us here when we're going to die and leave this world. Because he controls all things. And as you think about your life, think about it in this sense. Here we are today, sitting in this congregation at this particular time, at this particular place. From this moment on, all our lives are present to God. Tomorrow, God's already there. Next week, God's already there. Next year, God's already there. The next generation, God is already there. He sees every moment of our lives at once. No wonder James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God knows everything about you and me. Our whole life is open unto him whom we have to do. That's amazing. What a God we serve. He's so infinite, we cannot comprehend the God who never learns. He knows everything. He always knew everything. God is omnipresent. He's always present at every moment, at every place, at every day, every year, every place. He's already there. that little card Sister Mabel gave me, that don't worry about facing tomorrow because God's already there. There's so much truth in that if you get a hold of that. We worry about tomorrow, what we have to face, but God is already there. We make decisions and we're concerned about the consequences. And sometimes if we make decisions outside of God's Word, against God's Word, then we should be concerned. Decisions should be made according to the will of God and to God's Word. So that's why it's important to read the Word of God. Going on in this verse, I'm going to read it again. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. Write this verse down and read it every day when you go into a trial. God is faithful. God is faithful. Why? How's He going to be faithful? He's going to be faithful because He will not suffer you to be tempted above your ability to stand against it. What a comfort that is. What a comfort that is. Another verse. I'm just kind of going to go around a few verses this morning. And in 1 Peter, God says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, upon Christ, because He careth for you. Did you ever think about that? How do you cast your care upon the Lord? Now, let's take these verses at face value. You've got a heavy burden. How do you cast that on the Lord? Do you pick it up and throw it somewhere? You've got a burden on your back. You know, you John Bunyan, and he was carrying that burden. You know, if you can kind of picture of a person's got a big bundle on his back and it's burdened him down, and he takes it and he casts it off. That's kind of an illustration. Sometimes in life we have burdens that are very heavy for us, difficult to carry. As I say, it can be physical. It can be mentally. It can be financially. It can be emotionally. It can be trying to discern the will of God for your life. It can be many things. But what's comfort about this verse, it says, casting all your care upon Him. Not some of it. Lord, I'm going to cast half of my care upon You, and I'm going to carry the other half. That won't work, Brother Dave. You've got to cast everything upon the Lord. And I like the way Peter puts it. Casting everything upon the Lord because He careth for you. There's someone who cares for you. That's the key point. God cares for His children. He cares for each one of us. He's concerned. One of the psalmists says, No man careth for my soul. Yes, there's one that cares for our souls. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse in Romans 8, which says, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it's an encouraging verse. It says, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In reality, we have many enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil, evil. There's many things against us, sin. But God being on our side, in reality, nothing can destroy you and I if God be for us. Who can utterly be against us? No one. No one can defeat God's people. Verse 32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? God went to such extent that Jesus gave His only Son to suffer the agony of hell for you and I, don't you think He's concerned with our burdens and our trials? Jesus had many trials upon the earth. He understands. He's called the sympathizing Jesus. He's touched. I thought about this verse. There is someone who's touched with your very feelings. Now, I can pray for you, and sometimes I can understand a certain trial you're going through if I've been through it, but there is someone who is touched with the very feelings of your soul. Could be loneliness. It could be distress. It could be many things that comes into a believer's life. But God says that Jesus is touched with our very feelings, our very emotions. What bothers you touches His heart. Now sometimes we lose sight of that. But He cares for us. And that's why Peter knew that. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Cares for us. What a precious promise that is. What a precious promise that is. And as we think about these things, turn to Philippians. As we think about over in chapter 4, he says, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing. How many times do we sit around and worry, worry, worry? I know no one here has that problem, but at times we all do. There's something that will bother us. Satan will bring something to concern us that we come to the point of we can't even sleep without thinking about this. That's how Satan works. He works on the mind. This is where the battle is won, in your mind. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be over-concerned to the point that you distrust God, Brother Dave. That's what it's saying. When we get to the point where some problem or some trial is causing us to doubt God, then we must realize we've got to cast that on the Lord. Cast that burden on the Lord. He can control it. He can control that burden. But by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Who do you go to when you've got a problem? What did the psalmist say? Where could I go but to the Lord? Now, I'm glad for the church of the living God, and I'm glad for the people of God, because we can go to each other also. It says, comfort one another with the same words wherewith God comforts you. You say, why did I go through this trial? Maybe to help someone else, Brother Dave, that you can understand what they're going through. You can understand their feelings. You can understand the trial they're going through. And you can give them comfort from the Scriptures and from your personal life how God brought you through this trial. God works in His people. Everything has a purpose in life. You don't always see that. Why did God allow me to take this path? So that you may help someone else down the road who will come in contact in your life. We're here to help others. We're here to glorify God and to honor God. Be anxious for nothing. And oh, how many times we break that. We disobey that. We are anxious about many things. But in everything but prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you commit it to God, what comes in the place of the being anxious? Peace. If God's in control, And God has everything under His control. Your life is under His control. He will give you the peace and joy of the Lord to help you through it. Oh, what a blessing, beloved, that is. What a blessing that is. There's many, many verses in the Scripture that comforts us. And we have to look to the Word of God and look to each other. Brother Roger, Brother Dave, and myself is always available if you need someone to talk to. And then we have brothers and sisters in the church to help people and you can talk to. And we have our great high priest over the house of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Matthew, we turn there. In chapter 11, Brother Roger preaches on this text a lot. He knows where I'm going. Matthew chapter 11. Who's talking here? The Lord Jesus Christ. How encouraging this is. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." There's a lot of people, beloved, that are laboring and are heavy laden under the trials of this world. So if you are laboring and are heavy laden, you're not by yourself. Remember Paul says in Corinthians, to the common temptation of all of us, we all face common temptations. So remember that your brothers and sisters may be going through what you're going through. That's why we can take comfort and help encourage one another. We should be praying every day, "Lord, who can I comfort today in this world?" Through email, through the telephone, through a personal visit, through a call. Many ways we can comfort people. There's people out there in the world needs comfort from the Scriptures. Take time. We shouldn't just live for ourselves and what we want. Think about the needs of others. Christ's whole life was one of giving. He was always healing, blessing, cleansing. Everything He did was for others. He didn't live for Himself. He lived for others. And we're to follow His steps. So, beloved, this coming week, I pray that you will pray, "Lord, who can I comfort? Who can I help this week?" See, I get your mind off yourself and gets it on others. And we need to do that. We need to be concerned for helping others. In our own families, our cousins, our brothers, sisters, if you have brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, how many people in your family needs comfort? Needs a word of encouragement. For you that send out cards to people, that's a blessing. That's a gift. That is encouragement. Sometimes we don't realize. I know Brother Larry told me one day when we was talking. I think it was Sister Mabel had sent him a card, and he said how much that comforted him. It meant a lot to him. Just a card. I mean, so simple. But it meant a lot to Larry, because Larry kind of pretty well lived alone and didn't have a lot of people to encourage him. His brother came over occasionally. So there's always things that you can do that you may take, "Well, I'm just sending a card." But it means a lot to the individual. Pray about that. Take time to send a card or a call or a visit to encourage someone. Coming back to this text, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, if you've been there, you know what Jesus is talking about. When you get so burdened over a trial you're going through, you say, "Boy, who can I go to and talk about this?" You ever had a trial like that? Where you say, "Who can I go to?" So, "Well, I don't want to go to my parents because I don't want to burden them with this. Well, I don't want to go to my brother or sisters. I don't want to cast this upon them. So finally, you just carry the burden yourself. Beloved, I want to tell you, you can't carry your burden by yourself. You need to open up to the Lord. You need to open up to others around you. Why are we in the body of Christ, and members in particular, that we might help one another carry each other's burden? But you know what? We're too closed-minded. We're too self-concerned. We won't tell each other that we're going through a burden. Oh, what would they think of me if they think I'm going through a real bad trial? We are going through trials. If you're a believer, you're going through trials. God promised it in His Word. And that's why the church is such a living unit, organism. We are to be a strength, a comfort, hold up each other by prayer and faith and by encouragement that we can help each other get through the trials of this life. A church is not just to come here and hear a preacher preach and you go home and that's it. No, we are a living body of members in particular. We're to love one another and we're to share one another's burdens and help each other. But if we don't share those burdens with each other, how can we help each other and pray for each other? So don't be ashamed when we say, do you have a prayer or request? Say, yes, pray for me. I'm going through a particular trial this week. You don't have to say what it is. It doesn't matter. If we know you're going through a trial, we'll pray for you. God knows. God knows. One of the best things we need to do is be honest with God and honest with each other. There's nobody around here walking around with halos around their head. We haven't arrived to perfection. We all stand by God's grace. We all need that throne of grace that we come to find mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. I'm glad for that throne, Brother Dave. Oh, that throne of grace. I can go there and receive mercy as a sinner. I can receive grace to help me stand against the trials and tribulations of life. I can receive grace to help me comfort another brother or sister that I know is walking through darkness in their life and don't know what to do. I can encourage them. God is faithful. He will bring you through this. I love what it says in the Old Testament. It says, of all the promises of God, not one word ever failed. What God promised. God's faithful. The faithfulness of God. Now, sometimes we're unfaithful, too many times, but God is always faithful to you and I. I'm sure Brother Roger can testify to that, to the grace of God, God being faithful to him and strengthening him since his sweet mate. Roommate, to his helpmate, he called her, is gone to be with the Lord. God is still with him and comforting him and leading him. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Rest is a sign of peace. You know, when you run a race and you sit down to rest to gain your strength, God will give us strength. He will give you peace. He will bring you to a calmness that no one else can. Now, there comes a point in our lives that only one person can really help us. Now, he may do it through Brother Dave. He may do it through Brother Roger. He may do it through different people. But ultimately, it's God that's comforting you through instrumentalities. And he goes on to say, and just take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. There you see the word rest again. God gives us rest, peace, because we're trusting in him. And he's talking to people who are heavy laden and who are burdened. If you never have trials, you don't need the Lord. You say, I don't need the Lord. I ain't got no trials. I'm all right. I've talked to people and said, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I should go to heaven. I've been a pretty good person. See, they don't see the depravity of their own nature. We're all born sinners. We're all born depraved. We're all born under the curse of Adam. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, we need God's grace. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, it's one thing to read these verses, but it's another thing to experience them in our life. But the key thought here, where do you go when you're burdened and heavy laden? To the Lord. What's that song we sing? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. Oh, what a privilege to take everything to God in prayer. Oh, beloved, that song is so simple but so true and so faithful. And what's that song we just sung this morning? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trusting comes before obedience. Because you trust before you obey. And obedience is the effect of trusting. We follow the Lord. So again, another verse of comfort. Which is one we receive a lot of comfort from. John chapter 14. Christ is speaking. These are beautiful chapters. John 13, 14, and 15, 16, 17. I guess you could say the whole Gospel of John. But 13 through 17 are precious. The teaching that Christ gave there. Right off the beginning, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Oh, we have a lot of troubled hearts. Have you ever had a troubled heart? I have. What is a troubled heart? A troubled heart is sometimes when you come to the point where you're not really exercising faith in God. You're looking at the problem is bigger than God at the particular time in your life. It overwhelms you. It's like when you first get the news you've got cancer. It's not that you lost your faith in God, but the shock of it can become so overwhelming that it just knocks you right off your feet in a sense. That's when people really need to hold those individuals up with prayer. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Because he was God manifested in the flesh. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. As we think about dying, which is something that's going to happen to all of us, each one's going to die here in a few days, a few months, or a few years. Some would die. All would die eventually. But Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That word is abodes. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we die, we have a place prepared for us, Roger? A place prepared for us. I think about Larry. And I was thinking one day, I said, I'd like to see what he's doing right now. He's rejoicing in the presence of God. He has no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache, no more tears. All those things are passed away. Brother Bill's dear dad is rejoicing the same thing. Don't feel sorry for them. Feel sorry for us. We're still here. Yes, it's hard to give them up. We love them. But oh, what they have now, what they're enjoying now, is what we long for, to be with God one day. To be in the presence of the Lord, the Scripture says, is the fullness of joy. Absent from the body is to be present with God. Beloved, we are headed home. This is only a trial we're going through. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're not of this world. Christ says you're in the world, but not of the world. We don't belong to this world system of evil and wickedness and ungodliness. We're God's people. We're to be a holy people, set apart for God's glory and honor. Oh, what a privilege it is to have that hope. It's called a blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's coming again. That's what he says in this verse. If I go into prayer place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where are our loved ones that die in the Lord? They're with the Lord, Brother Roger. They're with the Lord. And we wouldn't want to bring them back for nothing in the world. We want to go and be where they're at, Brother Dave. Think about it. One day, we'll all get to see Brother Al, Sister May, our grandparents, your parents, those who went on before you, who died in the Lord. All the saints that I've known in all the churches I was members of, I was thinking one day of all the different saints who have gone to be with the Lord. One day we'll all be together. Each of us, we're going to die one at a time. And then we're in glory. Forever and forever and forever. And some believe there'll be a new heavens and new earth. And that God says He created the earth to be inhabited, that we will inhabit the earth also. It'll be like the Garden of Eden. It'll be redone. No sin. No sorrow. No wickedness. Righteousness only. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessed hope we do have. Isn't that wonderful, Roger? Waiting for the coming of the Lord. So what really matters? Does it matter how much money you've got? No, because Paul says you brought nothing into the world and you're not going to take nothing out. And yet people are so prone to get more and more. There's nothing wrong with laboring to labor. Don't misunderstand me. But we have to learn we're not living for our financial gain only in this world. We're living for the honor and glory of God. The Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you've been blessed with money, you can help other people, help other Christian people, help poor. There's many things we can do today in that sense. That's something you should pray about. We all should pray about. Lord, what can I do to help another brother or sister or family or someone in the world? We all have our particular gifts. Where there's much given, there's much required. Where there's little given, there's not as much required. We all are blessed in certain ways in different manners. If we're blessed in the Scriptures, we have the Word of God, we know the Word of God, we should be using that knowledge to encourage others. That's the obligation of ministers. There's more expected of us because God has given us much in the knowledge of His Word. But He's coming again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, that is going to be a great day. A great day. And we'll close in going to 1 Thessalonians. It's a little encouragement for those who have died. Paul is, I read the Apostle Paul, how his knowledge of the things. But he was taught personally by the Lord for 3 years by revelation. He says, beginning with verse 13, well, verse 14 actually. Let's start back at chapter 4 first. Chapter 4, verse 13. He said, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, the body is asleep in the earth, but the spirit is with the Lord. Now, when he speaks about being asleep in Jesus, it's talking about the body. The soul never goes to sleep. That's called soul sleeping. There are some cults that teach that. We are in the presence of the Lord, conscious. When on the Mount of Transfiguration, who appeared to the Lord there? Moses and Elijah. They wasn't sleeping. They was wide awake because they talked to Jesus about His exodus, about departing from this world. There's a lot of things about the unseen world we don't know about. But one thing is for sure, we're not sleeping in heaven waiting for Christ to come back. We are very conscious. And we need to keep that in mind. He says, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Beloved, this is the truth of God's word. Comfort. Comfort. From someone who dies, our fathers, our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, God gives us comfort. They will rise again one day. And if we are alive when he comes, we'll be changed, Paul says in Corinthians, in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant, we're changed. And then our feet's going to rise up. We're going to go up and meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah, what a day that'll be. When all the graveyards open up and all those bodies come out and the soul and the body are reunited, and then we all go up to meet the Lord in the air, what a day that will be. We sang that song. When my Jesus I shall see. Hallelujah, beloved sisters and brothers. This is a wonderful day we look forward to. I hope we never get our eyes off heaven. Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The hymn this morning was around Jesus. As Dave mentioned, without Jesus we can do nothing. Without me, he says, you can do zero. You cannot do anything spiritually because I'm your strength, I'm your grace, I'm your peace, I'm your rest, I'm your all in all. He's everything to the believer, everything. Thank God for that. And then I want to close with the reading of these words. He says in verse 16 of chapter 5, rejoice evermore. How can you rejoice in sorrow? By looking to the end of it all. Although I'm suffering right now, I may be dying of cancer, but I know soon the Lord's going to take me home to be with Him. And the suffering will be over. That's the faith that gets a lot of God's people through suffering with cancer. They see the end. Death takes us to be home with the Lord. It's our exodus out of this world. If Christ comes before we die, then we'll be changed in a moment. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying, or despise not preaching of the word. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And this we have to guard ourselves constantly, to be careful to abstain from all appearance. If it appears to be evil, abstain from it. And the very God of peace shall sanctify you. Holy, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful. Notice that word, faithful. I'm going to end with this. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also would do it. Are you concerned about living your Christian life? God is faithful. He worketh in you both the will, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, and the will and the power to do the will of God. He worketh in you both the will and to do according to his power which worketh in you. Beloved, God's faithful. If you get anything this morning in the message, remember this. God will be faithful to you. He will carry you through your burden. He will carry you through your trial. He will carry you all the way to glory. May we pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for these few words we spoke concerning your care for us, your watching over us, that everything that comes our way, you have control over it, and you bring us through it. And one day, Lord, death itself will take us into the presence of God so that we may all say, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Lord, we pray that You'll give us the faith to believe that and trust You in all situations of life. In Christ's name we do give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?